What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to the Double M Show, brought to you by CLNS Media and Massive Media. It's the original crew. We've been holding it down for 14 episodes now. Oof. Man, we are rolling.
It's a long time.
Rolling Tuesdays. You can catch us here every Tuesday. You can catch Mike Nice here every Tuesday.
What's poppin'?
You can check Miss T-Mac every Tuesday.
That's right.
And you could also check me out, DJ Meez, every Tuesday here on Double M. And there's a lot going on right now, man. This is, you know, playoffs are kicking. The sun is finally out. Things are booming finally. When we was here, we was coming here, it was cold, snowy,
yeah, bro.
Dark.
Freezing, frostbite.
We got t-shirts on now. You know, we relaxed. But T-Mac, as always, you kick it off. Let us know what's on the playlist tonight.
You already know. I got y'all. So, definitely got to talk about them Celtics. I don't know who poisoned who or who did what, took away whose mojo.
That's a good word, poison.
But mojo. Something is wrong. And you see, you know, I got my Celtics jersey on. It's probably my last time wearing this number jersey. and then we got to talk a little bit about our relationship. You know, we always have our little relationship talk. So we got a new question out there for you guys. So we gonna hit y'all with that right after we take this long journey about the Celtics. I don't even know where to begin. Somebody help me, because
Marv,
I'm devastated. I can't wear this jersey no more.
T-Mac, one of y'all please dive right into this Celtics talk, because I tell y'all.
Celtics, they're 1-3, okay?
1-3 against
one
the Bucks.
1-3. Yep. Let's start with that.
So, let's start with our predictions, right? We came in here, we had our playoff predictions, how
sure
far
did
the Celtics will go. And, you know, going into the Bucks series, I said, I don't know who's going to win this game, the series, but I said, I do know that it would go 7. Mike, what was your prediction again?
I think I did say.
Damn well what was Mike's prediction.
No. I can't ask the question.
Yep,
well, Mike, what was your prediction?
Hey, I got no shame. I had Celtics winning the series in 6 games. I'm not going back down from what
There's
I said.
Wrong with
That's
that.
What
you
I said.
You said it with that smirk on your face.
There was no smirk.
You were the one ready to laugh, T-Mac.
Me?
That was you.
Hey, how was I ready to laugh?
There we go. Finally, we don't blame
Six games. Six games. I said Celtics would beat the Bucks in 6 games. And by the looks of it, you know, it's not set in stone yet. But by the looks of it, it's probably not reaching 6.
Listen, for those who can't really see, I'm wearing all black today.
Ready to go to somebody's funeral.
It's the Celtics' funeral. And I hope that the Milwaukee Bucks can just make sure they pull the plug on Game 5 and just end
you
it. Take
want them to pull the plug?
Take the Celtics out their misery.
Mm.
I don't want to see it no more.
Yeah,
to lose,
a little bit hopeful.
No. There's no hope. It's over. It's over. The series is over. And I'm not just saying it because I think the series is over. The Celtics believe that the series is over. The players think that the series is over. So if you're a player and when you're playing, you see a team act sluggish, you see a team go, damn, this team is better than me. It's over. Why would I put more false hope into the Celtics thinking that they can ride out and come back a 3-1 deficit, which is so rare to do? And there's one thing that the Celtics has shown me is that comebacks is not in their definition this year whatsoever. They can be down by 5, and it's like they're down by 50, and they just give up. This Boston Celtics team is pathetic. So just put them out their misery now, because I don't want to see it no more. So let's dive in to the series against the Milwaukee Bucks. Celtics take game one, right? They take game one, and we felt so good. We didn't even talk about it in Double M.
We did.
I felt really good after that
game. We didn't even talk about it in Double M. But as the Celtics do, you know, they win 5 in a row. You feel happy-go-lucky. And then they show you that they can drop 3 in a row just like that. They've been doing it all year. They've been the most consistent, inconsistent team ever. They show you who they are, and I knew that they weren't going to flip no switch. They wasn't going to magically just change into another team where they can just roll out. If you don't do it in the regular season, it's not going to happen in the postseason. Mike, let's talk about the Milwaukee Bucks series.
Go ahead, Mike.
Before I get into that, everything Marv said about putting them out there misery and whatnot. We did have some comments coming in. People still have faith. Still have faith. Shout out to Alexander, said he's from the Philippines. He's a diehard Celtics fan. He's hoping and believing that Kyrie will show up in game 5.
Sorry, Alex.
Hey, come on, Marv.
Hey, Alex.
Come on, Marv.
Hey, sorry, let the fans Alex. Have hope.
No, he can have hope. I'm just telling him. I'm telling him, sorry. I tried to do this with Mike months ago.
Come on,
I tried
Marv.
To tell Mike. Mike, let it go. This is going to hurt you so much more if you
let
believe.
Let them have hope. You
if you believe, it's
going to
hurt.
Let me,
okay, I don't want you guys to be hurt.
Let's Marv's
Mike, do you
Marv's
want
completely
the Bucks
done.
To put the Celtics out their misery?
I'm with Alexander, and
all
I'm going to say this.
You,
listen,
finally.
listen. I want to believe who I'm. If I'm going to sit here and say, damn, Celtics are down 3-1. It's rare that a comeback like that happens. Just be done with it. If I'm going to sit here and say, you know, I take pride in the fact that I believe and I know. And if you ask my father and brother who were in the house with me when I said this, I believed that the Red Sox in 04 was going to come back and beat the Yankees. I swear on everything I love in this world.
What are you about to say right now?
All I'm saying is if I sit here and say that, hey, Celtics, Barry, Dunn, you know, I'm not giving my true fanhood justice. Celtics come out and win game 5. Yeah, I'm gonna feel good. I mean, I'm gonna feel good.
So, Mike, you have hope.
I'm not throwing in the towel, but at the same time, call this a contradiction, whatever. I do believe the series is done. Now, let's look at Marv. Like you said, let's go back and look at this whole series from the jump. Celtics came out game 1, and they played great. They played excellent defense on Giannis. It looked good. But then as the series moved forward, adjustments need to be made. Obviously, the best team in the Eastern Conference, the Milwaukee Bucks, they weren't going to come out the same way in game 1 and play the same way game 2 and the rest of the series. They knew what they got smacked in the mouth game 1. They knew they had to come out and make the adjustments. Here's my issue with the Celtics. The adjustments that we look to see from a team, especially a playoff team, it doesn't really come from the Celtics, and you don't see it. Now, fast forward, we know how game 2, 3, and how game 4 went Monday night. But if you have to fast forward and really get to the bottom of it, I'll say this. The blame, you want to look at Kyrie, you want to look
playing
at
the blame game.
You want to get to Kyrie, what are you going to say?
Now, why don't you finish your opinion on the series itself, and then we're going to jump into Kyrie because
the percentages
a whole lot going on
the
with
percentages
Kyrie right
of
now.
The Celtics winning this series are very low, very okay. low. That's just the honest facts. That's
right.
It.
So with Kyrie, a lot of people are saying, "See you later." There's a predicting that Kyrie's not coming back. He's not going to be with the Boston Celtics anymore. They're saying he's likely to opt out of his final year of his contract. Now, do you guys also see that happening?
I mean, let's not even jump to that too much.
Everybody's jumping to it, though.
I mean,
everyone
it's easy to get to that because, yes, the team is
okay
down.
The
team
the
is down.
The fans are okay with it. They don't think Kyrie's coming back to Boston. They think he's done in Boston, and they're okay with it.
Kyrie, but see, no one was saying, I mean, people were saying that a little bit, but coming out of the Indiana Pacers series, no one was saying that. When things are at the worst, when things are looking bad,
like to have somebody
of course, people are going to be quick to say, well, the Celtics are sucking, Kyrie's not playing well. It's he's automatically out of town. And I still, in a sense, it's a cop-out. It's easy to say that. That's mm-hmm. the easy conclusion to the whole situation.
But do you think Kyrie is going to do that?
I'm going to stand by my word and believe that the man stated by his
word. Off before the final buzzer. Yeah,
the man stated his word. And, yes, the course of the season has played out. Maybe he should have never said anything in the beginning of the season. Forget all of that. When you just look at this series and how things have unfolded, you can put blame on Kyrie. And him being the leader of the team, the most vocal in the media, it's easy to look at him. He says a lot of dumb stuff. I know Marv can allude to all of that. Kyrie has been very questionable.
He said a lot of dumb things.
So Kyrie has to take the blame. And then underneath Kyrie, you can look at the rest of the team. Kyrie didn't show up in this series. But Tatum, did he show up? No. Gordon Hayward, he's still in Indiana, you know, chopping it up with his family and friends out there. I don't think he showed up for this Bucks series at all. Terry Rozier is pretty much non-existent like he has been all season. You know, the only two guys who've maybe really been reliable is
Horford and Morris.
Horford Morris and Brown. Yes. Horford, Morris, and Brown have been the only guys. And if you were to say coming into the series, Morris and Brown and Horford were going to be the guys you really rely upon, I don't think it would. If you look at the pecking order, it wouldn't have broken down like that. But that's just what it's been. Now, I've been one to say, especially coming out of this series, it shined more light on the fact that all blame can't be pointed to the players. I put a lot of this blame, and when I say a lot, I'm talking 50-50 split down the middle. I look at Brad Stevens and how he's coached this team. I have to. And it's an honor. If you don't look at Brad Stevens, this has been his worst year as a head coach in the league, maybe in his life. Because if you look at Brad Stevens' coaching career, he's had teams, especially since he's coming to the NBA, where it's just been players on the team that just say, hey, Brad Stevens, you put me in the game, and I'm going to try my hardest to give you all my effort. This year, he has a bunch of guys coming into the season after coming off an Eastern Conference Finals appearance. You got Tatum. You got Brown. Guys who are saying, hey, man, give me the ball. Let me get stuff done because I just went to the Eastern Conference Finals. I played against LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. You know, I can make things happen. Brad Stevens has never had a team like that. And it's not his fault. He's never been in a position like that. But being in a position like that as the head coach, I personally believe this year in total, as soon as the season and his postseason wrapped up, we're going to look back and say Brad Stevens had a terrible year in the 2018-19 NBA season.
Let's talk about Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens, like Mike said, bad year, right? But there's a reason. There's a key reason why Brad Stevens is having a really bad year. Because there's only one difference from all the years we've seen Brad Stevens until this year. That's Gordon Hayward. Brad Stevens has not known what to do with Gordon Hayward. Mike said he's still in Indiana. He hasn't shown up at all. And what he did is he's fooled all you guys. He's fooled all the Celtics fans when he pulls up 20 points once every other week or so and is like, oh my God, Gordon Hayward is back. Gordon Hayward this. The guy hasn't been good. And I'm not even putting blame on Gordon Hayward no more. I'm putting it on Stevens for giving him the 25 to 35
from the jump.
Hold on, from the jump. One second.
Uh-oh.
Hold on. Here we come.
Pull that piece of paper.
Let's get it.
Hold on.
Let's get it.
Gordon Hayward, game two. 30 minutes.
Damn.
1 for 5. 20% from the field. Plus minus negative 30. Game
somebody
four.
Get this man.
Gordon Let him know, Hayward. Marv.
How many minutes? 33 minutes.
33.
Went 2 for 8. That's 25% from the field.
That's mathematics for you.
That's plus minus negative 8. Game five. Game four. Last game just now. Gordon Hayward. Let's see here. 27 minutes. 1 for 5. 20% for you. 0 for 2 for 3. Negative 11 plus minus.
So, bam.
What the hell is going on here? I said it from, I remember one of the earliest shows. I said, Gordon Hayward needs to be getting semi-Olajay minutes. Get on the bench and just do this. I said that from the jump. But they got fooled, Mike.
They sure did.
The lucky, like a leprechaun. The leprechaun fooled them. They've got Gordon Hayward here.
I can't take it. And
Brad Stevens didn't know what to do. And, you know, everyone.
That's his boy, though, Marv. Butler boy. The Bulldog.
And he's a liability on defense. And when you're a liability on defense, it becomes 4-on-5. You saw Giannis just pushes everyone away. But with Gordon Hayward, he don't even try. It's two fingers. He's gone. He's flying.
Hayward got mixed by Connaughton.
I played against Pat Connaughton in the Y. I played against Pat. Come on now. Pat Connaughton's doing that to you? And another thing on Brad Stevens, right? They say, because we're going to get to the players, trust me. But they say Kyrie Irving doesn't fit Brad Stevens' system, right?
That's bull.
No, it's true. But you're the coach. Make it work.
That's it. And going off of that make it work situation, if you look at this team, I'm telling you, I sat at work today and I really had to look back on everything. And I look at this season and I honestly believe the only reason why the Celtics were as successful as they were, won 49 games, fourth seed, is purely off of beating teams because of the talent. Let's not get it twisted. The Celtics are a talented team. From top to bottom, starting five, the team's talented. Don't
did we
for a second.
Did we overstay how talented this team
is? I don't think so. This team is talented. And you not only – you thought last year they were all right. They had the talent there. But then you add Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward to the lineup. Yes, Gordon Hayward's not 100%, but you add those two to the lineup. And Brad Stevens from day one till now has had one game plan for these guys. Shoot the ball no matter what. How many games have we watched the Celtics win games because them guys are getting hot? Tatum's hitting shots. Kyrie's hitting shots. These guys are knocking down shots. And how many games have we watched where they can't buy a bucket? We're talking and in game four, what, 8 of 38 from the three-point line?
Or you want to know, I got this.
Please.
Please do not have
let me tell you,
these papers.
I feel like I've finally realized that Brad Stevens, in a sense, he's a one-dimensional coach offensively. Because when the shots don't fall for the Celtics, Brad, they call timeout. They go on the 15-2 run, something the Celtics are used to. Team goes on a 15-2 run after missing about four or five three-pointers in a row. They go to the timeout. All Brad Stevens and his bunch of yes-men coaching staff, all they do, good job, fellas, good job. Hey, the shots are there. Keep the shots up. The shots are there. Let's keep them flying. Let's. Dummy. Brad Stevens, tell your team full of young 20-something-year-old athletic players, take the ball to the basket. If you want to pull up stats? I'm not old school, but I tell you, I got some stats right here. Let me tell you something.
To me, it sounds like
let me tell you something.
He needs to step up his coaching skills.
Out of the 30 teams in the NBA for this last regular season, Celtics ranked 29th in free throw attempts.
Horrible.
29th. Then you get to this postseason. Out of the teams that have played 8 or more games this postseason, the Celtics rank second to last in free throw attempts. But the thing is, if you look at the regular season and the postseason, Celtics shoot 81% or around that from the free throw line. That means you have players
they don't
who,
emphasize that in Brad Stevens'
that's
Stevens
the coach.
System.
That's Listen. The coach on you.
All right, let's just pause for a second and let's take it back to talking about the players. And, you know, Kyrie hasn't said the most smartest things. And I want to talk about his comments that he's made, only making 7 out of the 22 shots that he took, and then goes on to say, I should have took 30. Now, do you think that his comments like that are contributing to that negative energy that's taking place on the court? I know a lot of people talk about his leadership and the things that he's saying and pointing the blame at him. But when you say things like that, I feel as though that contributes to, you know, that energy that's going on the court for them. What do you guys think?
So, coming into this playoffs, we talked about this is going to be Kyrie's biggest moment. You know, this is... Yes, he's been to the finals. Yes, he's hit the biggest shot in the final, but he was never the alpha. He finally comes into a season where, you know, his team didn't play well. He had individually, Kyrie did well, but his team did not play well. So going to the playoffs, every time all we heard was, guys, just wait till we get to the playoffs. Hey, Boston Celtics brought me here. That's why we're going to be fine. I'm a genius in the court.
I can get my shot off anytime I want.
I can get my shot off anytime I want. These are all the comments. The last one you just said, I should have shot it 30 times instead of 22 times. You know, that confidence that he has in him. I don't have no problem with him being confident. I don't have no...
Cause but you got to be able to back it up.
Exactly.
And he was not backing it up. So the fact that he came out and said, I should have took 30, no, you should have took 15.
His resume gave him the reason for him to speak like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
right.
That's it.
But, and so for me, that's why I never got mad about it. His confidence, whatever, because of his resume and what he's done. And we know of supreme talent. But like you just said, T-Mac... 7 for 22. The game before, 8 for 22. The Kyrie watching the game, he's forcing shots. And what happens is he takes bad shots. He's been taking bad shots. And when you take bad shots, the other Bucks, we haven't talked about Milwaukee, but this is a great team. They're showing that they're a good team. Once that shot is off, they're off in transition. And it messes up the whole defense because they're like, damn, Kyrie just took another bad shot. There's times where Kyrie gets a switch. Where he has a big man on him like
Lopez.
Brooke Lopez. If you're such a genius, common sense as a point guard, Horford is down in the paint with George Hill on him.
You got two options
Or Eric Bledsoe on him.
Two options.
But yet, what Kyrie does is he'll just take a bad shot. Not even, you know, obviously he can get to his spot, but he take a bad shot or he'll force a layup. And the layups weren't dropping for him this series. So if you have that mentality that, hey, I'm the point guard, my shots are not falling, let me get my other guys involved, especially the second best scorer on the team, Jason Tatum.
Yeah, if you, it's interesting setup and system they have, because if you even look at that situation right there where you're saying Kyrie is taking bad shots, and it's not only game four Kyrie taking bad shots, game three he took bad shots, game two he took bad shots. Kyrie's the leader, don't get me wrong, best player on the team, best scorer on the team, easily. I don't care how good of a player you are sometimes. Yes, we've seen it with LeBron differently. We look at LeBron and say, well, LeBron's pretty much the coach of his team. Kyrie is not LeBron James. So when I say this, I'm meaning there's a person above you. Kyrie's not the head coach. He's not a LeBron James type of player. But there's a person above him, and his name is Brad Stevens, the head coach. If you see that Kyrie's taking bad shots, what are you doing practices? What are you doing film sessions? Sometimes, I don't know about
film
you guys.
Sessions,
you see, you know, a lot of videos, you know, flash on the screen. These guys having shooting competitions at the practice center, having a good time, whatever. Get your ass in the trenches and try to fix stuff that's going on with the team.
But what about right there in that moment in the game? Like, if
you still
see,
got a coach.
Exactly, you got a coach. Yeah, I feel like as a coach, you need to coach in that moment, not just when it's over.
And
I
this
feel
is
like,
the problem with Brad this year.
Listen.
It seems a lot of times he's not coaching, and these guys are going up and down the court doing, in a sense, sometimes whatever they want. They have possessions where they'll just shoot nonstop, clank, clank, miss, brick, nothing. They'll call timeout, they'll come out from timeout, and do the same thing again with no change. You mean to tell me, look, I just coached 7th and 6th grade boys this year, basketball team, not no NBA players. And I saw sometimes in games they shoot, shoot, shoot. I call timeout as the coach, and I tell, fellas, we need to get to the basket. How hard can that, are you scared of your players? Is Brad Stevens scared of Kyrie? Is Brad Stevens scared of Tatum? Is Brad Stevens scared of Horford? To tell these dudes who have the ability and skill to take somebody off the dribble. Or if you're not taking off somebody off the dribble, Horford has showed he's a great pick setter. You have a big body in Baines. Easy pick and roll, simple basketball where someone can attack the basket. Where is that with the Celtics team?
It seems like in this series that the Celtics don't have a play where they can just get a bucket. You know, usually you think about any Celtics teams in the past, they have a set play. Okay, things aren't going well. Let's just go to our go-to play. Nice pick and roll action. Right. Get a quick bucket to get ourselves going. You see, it's like the Celtics don't have that with this personnel.
They don't have a go-to play to do. And to score.
With all
like,
this
hey,
talent,
we need to score right now.
That's stupid. It doesn't make sense how that should happen. Marcus Morris cannot be your second best player on the team. He can't.
Was last year for this team was excellent. He was a bigger version of Marcus Smart in a sense.
Right. Come in, give you energy. But if you're asking so much now out of Marcus Morris, you're having Jaylen Brown take two roles ahead of that he needs to be taken. Gordon Hayward, we already told you how basura he is. He should stay in. He should stay on the bench. Semi Ojeleye, Terry Rozier, the bench guys haven't giving you
Terry Rozier got to go.
Haven't given you a thing.
We talked about that.
He got to go.
And to the point, Stevens doesn't even play him no more.
Now that Smart's back.
He's got like, I believe, 12 minutes the last game. And the thing that really hurt me last game four, I already knew the series was over. I told Mike already game three was going to determine to me who was going to win that series. But game four, you finally get Giannis and Chris Middleton.
That stretch of the game, bro.
You get them in foul trouble and the game is tied. Mind you were already up by 11. But fine. The game is tied. Middle of the third quarter. Giannis goes on the bench. Chris Middleton goes on the bench. You have everyone ready to go. This is where you separate. Great teams smell blood in the water. Celtics are not a great team. They not only they did not compete against their bench, their B squad, they lost the lead. They went on a 17-7 run with George Hill and Pat Connaughton.
Marv is so passionate. Bledsoe
was Gant. But the thing is, if you look at how they were playing, it wasn't like Bledsoe or George Hill were knockdown shooters coming in, hit big threes. Connaughton hit a couple big shots. But George Hill was getting to the basket.
George Hill was killing.
Eric Bledsoe getting to the basket.
Defense was another issue.
Like, I know a lot of things coming out of what, game three or something, or game two, about the fouls and the refs. You know, you watch the game, you're like, okay, yeah, the refs. But at the same time, something that I've heard a lot and I've had a lot of conversations, everything the Bucks were doing in terms of, yes, the Celtics don't have anybody built like Giannis. They don't. But all Giannis was doing pretty much was getting to the basket and drawing contact. Could you say some of the fouls shouldn't have been fouls? Yes. But at the end of the day, you get to the basket and draw contact, the refs are going to blow the whistle. But for some reason, let me not curse on this show. For some reason, if you watch the games, Gordon Hayward, Rozier, some of these guys, they will get to the basket, Mark. Elevate. Hayward. They will elevate in the air. I don't know. Maybe I'm stupid. But I've always heard if you jump in the air with the ball in your hand, you better be shooting the ball. You better not be passing that ball.
And every time.
Gordon Hayward and Rozier will get to the basket, drive, get by their man, and get to the basket and turn in the air to pass the ball to the three-point line. When I tell you I want to jump through the TV screen and smack something,
that's another instance right there. That example right there, say I it. Feel like as a coach,
thank you.
If you see thank that you. Happening and T-Mac, they're at the basket,
thank you.
You need to be telling them, listen, take that shot.
But
don't pass it out
but
to
Brad Stevens,
shoot a three.
You know what Brad Stevens is going to say?
Good job. Good pass.
Hey,
good effort.
That's a good look there. That's a good look there. Good
because
pass.
Because it's a three-point shot that they're getting instead of the two.
Gordon
but
Hayward.
They're not.
There's some stat out there like Gordon Hayward being like all-time one of the best percentages at the free throw line in the playoffs. But for some reason, he's not getting to the. If you look at the Celtics and the free throw numbers, 17th. Kyrie Irving is 17th with 5 free throw attempts per game in the playoffs. 17th with 5. This is Kyrie Irving, greatest handle in the league, maybe the league's ever seen, could get by anybody. He says he could get a shot anytime. 5 free throw attempts per game, playing 30-something minutes a game. And the next person on that list, all the way down, is Jason Tatum at ranked 31st with 4 free throw attempts per game.
All right, we got to take a second, guys. We got a lot of comments going in. I definitely want to get to everybody in there, or at least most of the people. So let's take it to the comments and see what everybody else is saying, because it's getting hot in here. It's a lot going on.
So comments are booming. Sorry, we can't get to everyone. I'm just going to read off a couple things that I see here. Duel93 says Baines needs to play more. Baines
yes.
is the only guy who can guard Giannis. He yes. can't guard Giannis, but
he can
definitely
slow him down.
He definitely needs to be in there more. And he gives out effort. He's one of the guys that you know who's not going to sulk. That's another thing that's been pissing me off.
Throwing the towel.
That's Jason Tatum.
They give up.
Jason Tatum. I don't know what the hell happened to him this year, because I'm not even going to talk about the playoffs, because I've been seeing it ever since the All-Star break.
I remember you saying that.
Tatum has gotten softer than tissue paper, and to the point where he's demoralized out there. It looks like he doesn't. You can watch him. If there's a time you just watch Tatum with Kyrie's on the court, he'll run to the corner to the three and just stand there. Won't attack the basket for offensive rebound. Won't call for the ball. It's like he's not even there. He does nothing on the offense whatsoever. And then when he gets the ball, he's not playing well to begin with. And this is a guy that we all said could be an all-star this year. We know how offensively gifted he is, but he hasn't been able to show it. So then, if your shots are not going down, that's okay.
Affect the game in other ways.
Still play.
Show me something. Go attack. Get the boards. Dude, defensively, Tatum is trash. And I finally get to say it. Tatum is not a good defensive player. I'm tired of people trying to cover it up, say, oh, the system did. Tatum's not good at defense. It's plain and simple. Watch what George Hill does to Tatum every single time. George Hill sees Tatum in a pick or a switch and attacks the rim, and it's on Tatum, and it's so bad. This guy's 6'9", lengthy, long arms, should be able to be a decent defensive player.
Are you going
to
blame any of that on age, though?
No, not no more. If you're not good at defense, you're not good at defense.
You just don't got it.
You can put effort, though. Jaylen Brown, he's not the greatest defensive player, but you see, he
that's
takes
one
the
guy
challenge.
Who is he's, he I can't complain challenge. About his effort every game. I can't complain about it. In some instances, he's the second best scorer on the team.
He goes after you. You remember last year against the Bucks, against the Cleveland Cavaliers. No Gordon Hayward, no healthy Gordon Hayward, no Kyrie Irving. The catalyst was Jaylen Brown. Every first quarter, he'd get the ball and he'd go attack. Something that's missing from this Celtics team, the word attack. He'd attack, he'd get everything going. And this year, he's had a similar role. Once he's come off the bench or if he's starting due to injury, he's attacking and he gets the Celtics going. He's been making his threes at a consistent rate.
He
in the
sure
playoffs.
Has.
Like, yeah. He wants it. Yeah. And I don't see that want with Tatum. Tatum's too lackadaisical for me. He's too lazy.
So how are you getting coached up? Because another comment, whether it's the coach or
just
a leader.
A few more comments.
And a guy Daniel just came in and said, you know, the Celtics need a better leader on the floor, and Kyrie hasn't been that. Now, that goes back to me saying 50-50. The coach can do so much, but when the game starts going and guys are going up and down the courts, when it's a dead ball, you ever see there's a dead ball and they call the plays? One player will say, hey, let's gather up
usually
real quick.
Usually that's Horford.
Somebody, maybe Kyrie isn't that guy, but at the same time, it starts with your coach. And I still look at the age sometimes saying, well, maybe these guys are still young. When they've had a lot of experience. I don't know how much longer, because next year when Tatum's turns,
I keep saying
I'm
that.
Not using
yeah,
age
when Brown's 23
it's like,
and Tatum's 21, how many more times are we going to say, well, they're still young guys? Like, we can't use that anymore. They've had a lot of NBA experience under their belt at an early age in the NBA. So it's time for something to somebody got to step up. And I mean,
it's over. Step up where?
Let's look at more.
So we know Mar ain't got no hope for the Celtics.
You guys still talking like this is a series. I'm so confused.
So you're not watching tomorrow night, Wednesday night? Sorry.
And this was going to happen. I'm going to watch and I'm going to pray that the Bucks just take us out. Take us out. Because I know what's going to happen to me. They're going to go to game 6. Now it's like, oh my goodness. Celtics may have, everyone's going to get riled up. And if they beat the Celtics again at home, you know how, you know that hurt? That feeling that everyone's going to have?
Because
they had a little glimpse of hope. There's no hope. The team, Celtics showed me that they know that the Bucks are a better team than them. They shown it. When this Bucks go on a run, they lose it.
Can't counterattack.
They lose it. They don't show no fight. They're down by 10. In the NBA in 2019, down by 10 is nothing. Teams go on runs like this. Celtics can't do it. The two best players, Chris Middleton, Giannis, were on the bench, and they got beat by some scrubs.
All right. So since this might be the last time we're talking about the Celtics, because I think a lot of people feeling that Wednesday night it's going to be over, I know the one thing that's come up in the comments consistently is Kyrie going or staying. Kyrie going or staying. Has this series?
Marv, you never gave your opinion on that. If you agreed or thought that
is,
you
know, Kyrie
was
going
stay
or is he
go?
Staying?
Because you know why? Because I don't give a damn.
Sheesh.
I don't. Listen, you ain't got to talk to me like I did it to you. All right, I was just asking a question.
I don't. Honestly,
I got a question for
my
y'all.
My fault.
You see, you my and fault. Mike, y'all today, y'all really on it.
My fault. I just don't
do
care.
Do you think the
you
Celtics
don't care if
Kyrie
Irving stays on the
Celtics
or leaves the Celtics?
They don't need Kyrie.
Mike, do you think the Celtics need Kyrie?
Yes. I still do.
I like how you guys are always opposite sometimes.
I mean, it's a good, great sports debate. I think if Brad Stevens really takes over as a head coach and takes control of this team, I think Kyrie can still work fine. Yes, he talks. Like, people look at Kyrie, and I think a lot of it is he says a lot of dumb stuff to the media and he comes off as arrogant and confidence. But if you look at him playing on the floor, he had a great season. Other guys around him need to step up. Like, are you going to say Kyrie's a ball? I don't see Kyrie as a ball hog or something like that. Like, this series, yes, he's taken a lot of bad shots. But over the course of the whole year, I don't think Kyrie was that detrimental to the team as a whole. I think Brad Stevens did not do a good job coaching the basketball team. Kyrie's a great player on a team that wasn't coached well this season. That's how I feel.
I think.
So you do think the Celtics need Kyrie?
I think Mike doesn't hold Kyrie as accountable as he should. Kyrie is the leader of this
absolutely
team.
But Kyrie himself doesn't hold himself accountable.
That's true. A lot of people
say that he never steps up and say, hey, this is on me. He doesn't even take accountability himself. So it's hard for him to... It's hard to see him as such a good leader when he's not taking.
He's not a good leader. I think everyone could agree that Kyrie's not a good leader. I mean, let's take the leadership role out of it and just talk about how he could be a baller. Because right now in this series, he has been nowhere to be found.
This series, he was bad.
I said to Mike, T-Mac, you weren't here on this episode. I said to Mike, in order for the Celtics to win this series, Kyrie needs to be 30-plus points a game. He needs to be the best player on the court. Out of the four games, he has not been the best player once. The game one, it was Horford. Then you could say Kyrie. Then the rest of the games have been Giannis. And Kyrie has even shown up for half of them. He's just been breaking shots. So that's the formula. Kyrie needed to be the best. He needed to be the best on the court for the Celtics to move on. When the moment got big, let's say it, he just didn't show up.
Bad series. It sucks because if you look at the other star players in the league, the other star players in the playoffs right now, who can really say, you know, Kyrie's at the bottom. We're talking Kyrie, put Kyrie on the Kyle Lowry, you know, level of performances because he just hasn't been there.
Sheesh.
And I'm not saying Kyrie doesn't deserve blame. He does. The leader of the team, the best player on the team, best scorer on the team, you know, he's going to take blame. He has to take blame because the stats will show he didn't show up. But there's a level above him in a sense, and that's the way the team was coached. And I feel like they weren't coached properly, not only just in this season, this series against the Bucks, but all season long. Don't even look at Indiana. Indiana sucked. They're probably the worst team in the playoffs in general. So I'm not even going to look at Indiana, how the Celtics ran through Indiana. Because like I said, half the games they won is talent, and the other half of the games, they just weren't shooting well, and that's because the coach never had another game plan. It seemed like Brad Stevens is one-dimensional because all he knows is shoot the ball, nothing else. So Kyrie going to stay, and I feel Kyrie can stay there, but Brad Stevens needs to spend this offseason looking in the mirror, whether you need to fire some of them yes boys on the coaching staff and bring in some new blood.
And hire me.
I don't know.
Shoot.
What you going to do?
I can coach, you know.
I know a job you could do, T-Mac, if you want to be on the team.
Don't even say it. Do not.
I think.
I know what he's going to say.
What job,
and if
Mike?
You say it, you better go ahead and say
what
it.
What job, Mike?
I think you could be a great job as a player analyst, and, you know, helping out the development of the players, you know, because you have a strong-minded personality.
You know what? I didn't think he was going to say that.
Mike.
What did you think he was going to say?
Jeez, what you think I was going to say?
That he was going to say cheerleader.
What kind
I
of?
I thought he was going to say I should be a cheerleader.
It's 2019,
T-Mac. I'm glad you
T-Mac.
Said that. I'm glad you said that. I
Come
appreciate
on now.
That because now I don't have to put my hands on you. I'm happy you said that.
Oh, boy.
Because you and him, y'all been going at it this whole show. But before.
Weren't you a cheerleader before?
I was.
Oh, you that's got experience.
You might.
Oh, you know,
that's why I thought
you owe me an apology.
That's why
you owe me an apology.
I don't owe you nothing. Anyways, before we wrap up with this, our last and final say so, are we counting the Celtics out? Marv clearly is.
Celtics
Mike still
fans.
Has hope.
Celtics
There's
people.
Another game to be played
I'm
Wednesday
gonna
night.
I'm not going
to
throw in the towel just
There's
yet.
Another game to be played Wednesday night. That's it.
All I'm saying, Celtics fans, just listen to me. Listen. Just understand that the series is over. And watch it with peace. I want you guys to be in peace like I'm in peace.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
This series didn't hurt me as much as I... Because I already knew what this Celtics team was. And I don't want that to happen to you guys. I don't want that to happen
to you. I feel like miracles
y'all.
Can happen. And
see? I don't want you to have that
Look,
in your head.
All I'm going to say
just
is...
Watch the game.
Marv is set in stone that
it's
over.
Possible.
All I'm going to say is there's another game to be played. And until the final buzzer goes off in the fourth quarter or whatever, and it's the end of regulation... That's all I could go off of. As a fan of the team, I'm not going to sit here and put the hammer down on this. Yes, I feel like it's over, but I need to see the game be played out.
You never
That's
know.
All it is.
You never know.
I'll be watching.
Well, that's it for the Celtics talk. So we got to wait until the game, see what happens. Now we got to talk relationships. So.
Ooh, why are we shifting so much? We shifting crazy here.
This is a crazy shift.
crazy
buckle
shift.
Buckle up. All right, so. There's this whole, I would say it's tradition that men pay for the first date. So the question is, men, would you let the lady pay for the first date? And ladies, would you even consider going out with a guy if he doesn't want to pay for the first date? So Marv, let's go to you first. Would you let her pay for that date?
First date, right?
The first date?
First date.
Okay.
First date doesn't matter. She asked me out or I asked her out. First date, would I let her pay?
Yes.
No.
You're such a gentleman.
No, listen here. Hold on. I got some. See.
Mm-mm. Here we go.
I've seen these glasses before.
I'm a smooth brother, you know? I'll never let.
Circa 2013.
He just said he's a smooth brother. I'm dead.
I would never, ever. As a man, I feel like the man should always pay for the first date. Just so the woman, especially if you want to impress her, understands that, okay, he's going to hold me down. And I want to hold you down. You know, that's what I'm
Who
here
are
for.
You right now?
Dr.
Who
Means,
are you?
Dr.
Get
that ain't
Mike, can you please?
I'm just
Would you let her pay for the first date or
me,
you
Let
want...
me tell y'all. Let me tell y'all something if you don't know me too well.
Oh my gosh.
Let me tell y'all something if you don't know me too well. I believe that me and a lot of the friends I'm associated, a lot of my boys, we are the last of a dying breed. And when I say a dying breed, when I say we are the last of a dying breed, myself and a lot of the gentlemen I associate myself with are true gentlemen. And I don't think, as a true gentleman, if you approach a lady and say, hey, can I take you out on a date? They could leave their pocketbook at home. Because if I'm taking you out on a date,
who are you?
I'm handling everything. And that's just what it is.
Can I just point
out that's just what it is.
Both of y'all just changed y'all voice, y'all tone. Y'all trying to talk all smooth.